Welcome to the Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this August the 16th on the West Coast, now August the 17th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome those listening in around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and want to say hello the second time today. I spent 2 hours on a Marines disquisition with Drew Malone Rains the third, and we got to talk about lots of things. Talked about 1080 being sprayed, this herbicide all around New Zealand, killing animals, and it's been denied, although some outsiders that have been traveling around New Zealand for a number of years have documented this on film and still photographs. And I witnessed a video of two gentlemen who went out and actually took pictures, went deep into the forest, and found a wide number of animals that have been suffering from this neurotoxin. It's what it is. It's a horrific death for the animals that come into contact with 1080. And the average person, from what I've read and what I've heard, isn't even aware of it there in New Zealand, although people are starting to wake up. We have our counterpart in the Gulf of Mexico, Corexit, and despite all the millions and billions of gallons of petrochemicals and derivatives that have gone into the Gulf of Mexico, they now say that it's safe to eat the food from the Gulf, it's safe to swim in the Gulf, and it's safe to use the beaches. Are they now telling us the truth? Could that be true? I wonder. Well, we'll discuss that and some other things with tonight's guest. He is a naturopath by trade, also a PhD, and he's an author, researcher, journalist, and talk show host of his own radio show, heard Monday through Friday on the Micro Effect Network, and his name is Dr. Atru Ott. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Don. I hope you've had a good weekend. I've been busy just kind of unwinding a little bit, taking a time off from the Ashkenazi feud, the Khazarian family feud is what I'm calling it now. The name calling just ramps up. But you know, I'm just so flattered, Don. I really am, that these two Ashkenazi minions, Of all the crazy things happening in this world, they have me as the top of their list to let people know how dangerous I am. I mean,
it's amazing.
of all the things in the world that they could be talking about, like you said, the 1080 and the Corexit problem, and yeah, the ongoing problems of credibility with the Rothschild-controlled British Petroleum minions. Why in the world do they just have to focus on you and me? Oh, golly, you know, first we're murderers. We whacked off a guy named Chris Dorey, who I don't even know, never even met the man, never even communicated with him. And now it's, you know, it's me that did the dirty deed on Harkins. Man, oh man!
Now it's you? Oh my God!
Now it's me. You're somehow out, you know, off clear now. You're okay, I guess. You were just brought into this by by me who just happened to email you into the conversation.
it's amazing. It is. And, you know, I have this conviction that we give away our power too easily to others. And I just refuse to feed the lies and the fables that are being told.
Yeah, you know, we broke the story on Friday. This gentleman claimed to have witnessed what he calls a shape-shifting event with Horowitz in the elevator. You know, I don't know. I brought him on because there was a lot more to the story. To me, wasn't the shape-shifting incident, okay, that was the story. That was corollary to the fact that Lenny... And with eyewitnesses in a crowded public area, dropped the F-bomb in a screaming, huge fit of rage. Why? Because this Mr. Clayton just wanted to run his own news magazine, and in fact did run a story pointing the Ashkenazi Khazar bankers and who was really in control. Shame on him for doing that. And here, you know, Horowitz thinks he's, you know, got control over this guy somehow and demands to know why he wasn't consulted before running such an article. And, you know, that's, if you look at that email stream where Horowitz emails me and Kane emails me saying, look at how an anti-Semite you are. You're a Jew hater, lumping me in with all of these white supremacists that are themselves controlled. You know, they're just fronts for the Mossad. Most of these rabid neo-Nazis are done. You know that. You have the head of the American Nazi Party being unveiled, and this reported on by many, many honest journalists, that he's really an Ashkenazi Jew from Israel, head of the American Nazi Party. I mean, so, come on. You know, it was time to expose these vipers. It wasn't me that said it. It was Jesus Christ in the Gospels, where he called them serpents and vipers. A generation of vipers, he said. And it wasn't me that said in Revelations chapter 2, verse 9, that they call themselves Jews, but are not Jews, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do your homework. I mean, this guy Horowitz claims to be a Christian and claims that, oh, Jesus Christ is a Jew? No, he wasn't. Jesus Christ, by all historical records, the Josephus, the tax records of the Roman Empire, he was a Galilean. Yeah, you know, the Galileans they went into the synagogues, but the Galilean physical description are auburn, even blonde hair, blue-eyed, pale complexion. He wasn't a bloodline Ashkenazi. No way. What? You know, that's enough that they lie about who they are. Now they lie about all these other things. It's not being an anti-Semite to point out the truth, Don.
No, and I've never even heard you use such inflammatory words about anybody anyway.
I don't. You know. I have some of my closest, dearest friends are true Sephardic Jews bloodlines. They are the true, you know, lineage of the Jews of Christ's time, not the Galileans. And they just want to live in peace, Don. They're not bad people. They want to worship the Pentateuch, you know, study the Pentateuch, the books of Moses, the Mosaic Law. And they have a right to do that. They have a right to exist. But it's the infiltration of, like Christ said in Revelations to John the Revelator, these are the synagogue of Satan, the infiltrators, the dark ones that trace their lineage to Babylon and the mystery religions. I mean, those are the things that have to be exposed because That's really who's trying to manipulate the world into genocide right now.
Yes. That's something that's pointed out on this show almost every night. So evidently it's starting to grate on someone's nerves. And believe it or not, I used to have that conversation quite a bit with Don Harkins.
So did I. I mean, continuously. You know, he asked me how I felt about Zionists and this and that, and I said, well, Zionism in my book is anybody who promotes the New World Agenda. The Mormon hierarchy, the LDS Church is more Zionist than any other group that I know of. I mean, there are certain Christian pastors and things at the highest level that are Zionists too. It doesn't mean that they're Jews by religion. Oh, and by the way, you know, I can't imagine people getting this mixed up, but they do all the time. They say, oh, Jews are those by religion only. No. You mean to say that Sammy Davis Jr. becomes a racial bloodline Jew because he just joins up a synagogue? You know, no, we're talking about a bloodline of Ashkenazi Khazars from the nation of Khazar, Khazaria. And it's not being racist, Don, to point out what they do in secret. Their blood rituals, their blood libels, as it's called.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is why they were expelled from all these countries, Don. If you really do your homework, it's the kidnapping and sacrificing of young children in these different areas that these group of Satanists come into. These group of tribal Huns from the Black Mountain regions, the Black Sea, the Transylvanian Mountains. These are the Order of the Dragon, the Dracul.
Yes, and as they moved westward from the Far East, it's been documented that they've been kicked out of every country that they tried to assimilate into, including, I think, France twice.
Oh, lots of times. Many times in France. So, Vienna many times. Italy. Again, it's every time that there's a rash of disappearing and murdered children. And, you know, there's all kinds of historical evidence of this. You're talking about young 2-year-old boys, for instance, in some of these places that were so brutally murdered that the Catholic Church turned them into saints, martyred saints. Imagine a little 2-year-old boy being held up, you know, hung upside down and bled to death with pokes, you know, nails being poked throughout him. I mean, that's how these murders took place. And there's a pretty good documentary now posted on YouTube. It's called Jewish Ritual Murders. It's, you know, it's just it's historical truth. And I'll click your tongue, ladies and gentlemen, and say, no, this is anti-Semitic and hate speech. No, it's not. It's historical truth. They just don't want the truth to be told. They want to control history. They want to control what can be thought and what can be said.
Yes.
Like I said on my show tonight, Don, I reviewed the interview with Leslie Stahl and Ashkenazi Khazarian Madeleine Albright before she was made Secretary of State by Clinton. She was asked on this live talk show, which I watched, I believe it was Sunday morning. I was flipping channels, saw her on there, and Leslie Stahl was asking her about this, the effectiveness of the Iraqi, the post, you know, Gulf War embargo and blockade, which was primarily stopping the flow of supplies and nutrients for the children. I mean, the children were starving to death.
Mm-hmm.
And Amnesty International posted up and the American Red Cross that estimates of over 500,000, half a million children, toddlers, babies, killed because of the first of all, the depleted uranium problems, all of this, these toxins that were placed into the waters there. Leslie Stahl said, do you think the price is too high to bring, you know, Iraq to its knees? And Albright says, no, of course not. That's not a too steep a price at all. 500,000 babies, infants, children. What did they ever do?
Just that matter-of-factly, she replied, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, you can Google it up. I think it's posted, the transcript of that interview. It made me physically sick when I heard her say that. I mean, these 500,000 Arabian bloodline children, they're like nothing but a flea to you, Miss Albright. And, you know, what was shocking to me, Don, is there wasn't a national outcry over this. It was like, oh, so what? Kill those babies because of the terrible Saddam Hussein, you know, invading peaceful Kuwait. They got what they deserve type of thing. I mean, to tell you, what has those babies got to do with anything? They're innocent victims. I'm sorry, it was wrong.
Yeah, and this time around, what is it, 3.5, 4.5 million people have left Iraq just to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
Many settled in Macedonia and outlying areas. And there's only so many people they can take in anyway in situations like that. But, you know, we just don't hear any of the truth anymore about anything. And we have to do our own digging if it's going to continue. I thought I'd let you know that I can't find any record of Christopher Story having died in any of the normal databases. And remember, I said my read is that he's alive, that he's been asked to step aside.
What about his real name? I did a search with, what's his name, Harl?
Edward Harl, yes. Harl. I can't find anything under that name either.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting that would occur. It's been over a month now, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You know, ladies and gentlemen, isn't it interesting, too, that as of September 1st, September 11th even, of 2001, there were, according to researchers and banking executives, there were a total of 7 independent nations that had stopped every advance of the Rothschild central bankers to get them, you know, to go in and control their economy like they do with us with the Federal Reserve. You know what those? Do you know those? Have you heard this before, Don? The 7 nations. As of 2001, now there's only 5 nations in the world without a Rothschild-controlled central bank. But the top nations that were on their hit list, Afghanistan and Iraq. The biggest apple is Iran. Iran is, the Ayatollahs that took over from the Shah. And the Shah refused to have a central controlling bank because of, you know, the strong Islamic structure of Iran. They just don't. They think it's a sin, completely wrong to have the central bank. So you have Iran. Now you have Iran, North Korea, the Sudan, Cuba, and Libya that are outside the controlling arms of the octopus. That's it. Every other nation has a central bank controlled by the Rothschilds now.
Now, where would they put a central bank in Afghanistan? Right there in the middle of the poppy fields, you think?
Yeah, well, it's, again, controlling their the medium of exchange. And they've established that now, again, making it part of the new reforms and the new government in Kabul. And surely they've established that as part of the rebuilding efforts in Iraq. So it's just, I think that's kind of coincidental. I saw a report on this by the banking. This was Rotary Club meeting that we had about in 1999. I remember sitting there next to a guy named Ron Heaton, who's the president of the State Bank of Southern Utah. And we're discussing the need for a central bank, and he was all pro. You know, the Federal Reserve has been wonderful, and everybody in the world, and these rogue nations, he listed the ones that didn't have this central bank. Well, it's amazing that it's all, you know, the bankers are all propagandized and brainwashed to believe it's all good. But, again, why is it, how is it good to create nothing out of thin air? The real wealth, Don, is in the land, it's in the people, it's in the natural resources, the things the earth can produce and the labor of mankind to produce it. That's where real wealth is. These central fractional reserve bankers make a computer entry out of thin air, poof, and you got debt generated. I mean, yeah. Jesus Christ understood this, and that's why he grabbed a cat of nine tails and drove the money changers out of the temple. I mean, that's what it was then, and it's what it is now.
Yeah, it's interesting that that term money changers was used, you know, over 2,000 years ago. Money changers, what do they change money from and into?
Well, you have to remember that at that time when the pilgrims came into the worship of the temple, they needed to get some kind of an animal for a sacrifice. And so these merchants, these Ashkenazi types, had their little units or little stores set up where they, let's say that somebody came in from Morocco, the true Hebrews, they were scattered all over the north of Africa. They would travel into Jerusalem on a pilgrimage, and to buy an animal for a sacrifice, an oblation, they had to go to these booths. It's like a little carnival area right there at the front of the ancient temple. But they had to take their national currency and trade it in at a high rate of exchange for, you know, to enable to have it standardized to buy their animal sacrifice. And they were just really gouging the poor people that came in there. That's the history of the money changers there.
Yes. Well, I agree with you on that. I was asking the rhetorical question, but you answered it.
Oh, well, yeah. That's, they're changing it from their pocket to theirs. From one
back
pocket
to theirs,
to another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called money on a rope.
You know, it's just the way it is. And, you know, the Huns, that whole group, the Ashkenazi bloodline of Cain that came out of Babylon, infiltrated the Sephardic bloodlines of Edom early on in the text of Jeremiah. You see that happening. The Kenites came in and basically took on the role of scribes or record keepers. They became part of all cultures, especially the Judean Judah culture, and that's who the scribes and primarily the Pharisees were.
Mm-hmm.
Just users.
Yeah. If you look at how things have been ramped up through over the past 100 years, but the last 10 especially, it begs a few questions, and one has to think outside the box, even even to consider those questions. The question, why now? Why wait 2,000 years and then all of a sudden get this bug up your rear that you have to pull this off? You have a couple of years. I understand the astrological and the astronomical favorability in their eyes to doing this by 2012, for example, and in looking at their alchemy and their ritual practices, that's one side of the argument. But why panic if they control the financial system in all the countries but five? And it would seem that that's just a matter of time, or maybe they're concerned possibly that they're losing grip on what they had a hold of. Any thoughts?
That's what I emailed to Kane and Horowitz. Is I maybe rubbed their nose a little bit into it. I said, you're on the losing side. You just got to get off of that losing side and truly come in full humility and repentance into the true fold. You know, this Knights of Malta connection, you can say whatever you want to say, but if you're in the position where you're even going to be accepting that, let alone be nominated for that, tells you that you've got some alternative agendas, not from what you claim to be. That's my two cents in the matter. But we're talking about rituals of a highly satanic nature involving, the owl of Bohemian Grove, the owl of wisdom, the cremation of care, the burning of innocence and the so-called cremation of care ceremonies. These are the secret ceremonies of these Ashkenazis in Babylon from the very earliest days, Don. And so you ask, why is there such a panic or an urgency, is I guess a better word, to do all these things? Well, they're following the fallen angels in giving them the revelations through the owls and the spirits that they conjure. Okay, all of these New Age frequencies and pentagrams and things that they're doing, these demonic entities appear and give them what they think is wisdom. And they are of a firm belief that this interdimensional opening and movement will occur at the end of 2012. So, will it happen? Well, they believe it'll happen. Doesn't matter what I believe or what Don Nikoloff believes. The problem is they believe it, and they do, in fact, control the nations and the armed forces of this world. And let's face it, the nuclear stockpiles of the world.
Yeah, well, you can only blow up so many cities or so many countries until the planet gets knocked off of its axis. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't understand the insanity other than that it is insanity.
Well, I just, who's ever listening out there that has connections to another planet, whatever it's called, whatever its name is, I want to go. Take me off of this crazy rock. You know, as long as there's good fishing and a place to relax a little bit, take me off for about 20 years. And let me just take a vacation from my problems.
Well, there's always Balqui.
Whatever it's called. Whatever it's called. And, you get a lot of flack over that, Don, but, hey, it's the ultimate insanity, to my mind, that you look up in this expanse of heavens. I told this to John Statler on a phone conversation after he called me and warned me off of having you as a guest on my show. Basically told me that he would pull the plug if I had you on again. I said, do you really mean to tell me, John, that you haven't stood up in a beautiful summer night and stared up at this, got on your back on a lawn and stared up at the expanse of the heavens, or or better yet, look through a telescope at how it's an endless array of stars. Some of them stars are all long ago burned out because the light is so just now getting to see our optic nerves. But all of the multiplicity of space, the vastness of space, you think you're alone, and you're here just by, you know, just one little isolated group of life in a small, infinitesimally small sand on a sand of a seashore. That's ridiculous to think that. I mean, if you really truly believe that, then there's no hope to even think any deeper about anything.
Yeah, you know, when you consider that there are probably a trillion planets in what's called the Milky Way here, mm-hmm. what's called the galaxy of Hendon outside of here, you have to consider that we can't even see all the planets in our own solar system, let alone the many constellations and stars, many which are our suns. So it's impossible to imagine how far the end of the universe goes. It really never ends, does it?
No, it doesn't. And you know, my uncle Leighton was quite a wealthy philanthropist here in Ogden, and he donated a large sum of money to build a planetarium, an observatory, and it's called the Ott Planetarium here in Ogden, Utah. Mm-hmm. And okay. You know, yeah, you come if you ever come out here, you want to go visit. And you talk about fun to go in there, you know, and to just have philosophical discussions with the observers there. I mean, the people that watch the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Don, they don't like to. They're not going to publicly say this, but they've watched and mapped out UFOs in the heavens. I mean, they do it all the time.
They're flying them.
Yeah,
we have them.
I know. I mean, it's just come on. It's there, and you see it, you know it. This, you know, we just went through another, you know, quite spectacular meteor shower with a weekend, and. There's just so many things besides the meteors that they're watching, okay?
Yeah. You know, if you watch at night with a keen eye, you can catch a craft or two relaxing their cloaking. And you'll see a flash or you'll see a reflection out of nowhere, and then suddenly it's gone when they realize that they weren't cloaked. You'll see it. I mean, this is years, more than half my life I've been seeing these things. And I know many, many other people that have seen them. Where do you suppose they keep the trillion planets? Is it, are they in a warehouse in the back of some Walmart somewhere?
I mean. Well, you know, again, it also goes back to the story of the Transylvanian sunrise. I can't, again, recommend that book too highly. Just go into just Google up Transylvanian sunrise. It's a story of Radu Sinemar and the incredible Romanian discovery there in the Pochechi Mountains. Holy mackerel, ladies and gentlemen! Talk about a story behind the story. All of the history of human population and even, you know, extraterrestrial population centers on the Earth for 50,000 years is explained there in this holographic hall of records. Now, the Bocetti Mountain discovery, the Romanian government had declared and decided to make this, they would be guardians of this for all the world's inhabitants to learn and to be educated on the true history. Immediately, George W.'s administration and the State Department threatened them with a nuclear exchange if they didn't keep it hidden. And again, we're talking about P2, Freemasonry, Don, the highest level of Masonry under the Vatican's watch. All of this is deeply involved in this. They do not want the truth to come out about where where our genetic origins come from. We're from the stars, ladies and gentlemen. And is there a divine creator that watches over all of this? Yeah, there's order in everything. So when you read the accounts of those that went into that holographic hall of records and witnessed the recordings of history, imagine how neat it was to read that at the crucifixion of Christ, there were literally hundreds of delegates from other star systems and planets on the ground observing the sacrifice of the crucifixion. Because, you see, Christ was divine throughout the galaxy, not just here on the Earth.
Oh, yes. I've heard that from the United Galactic Federation. The 575 planets in that federation all worship Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He's been to all their planets. They've been through their upheavals, their wars, their crime, the decadence of society, but they're far older than us and far wiser. They have a lot more technology, much more advanced, and they don't use it for the purposes that those here use the same type of technologies. They use their technologies to defend themselves, but they don't go around murdering innocent people. And they know that there's evil in the universe. They've been to places where it's pretty evil. But what they're witnessing here, I think, is far beyond anything they could ever imagine right now. The depravity of the evil ones here is not outdone, I don't think, anywhere else. Doesn't make other places in the universe safe, but nonetheless, there is a particular order and a mutual respect for other civilizations that come from other planets. What's so impossible to conceive about that?
Well, again, if they only would read that Transylvanian Sunrise, the book. I mean, it's a history book, ladies and gentlemen. It's nonfiction. And I tell you, it's one of the most incredible books you'll ever read. I got to tell you, and it's probably one of the least, you know, known books. People that should be up on this stuff have no clue on it. I've had Peter Moon, who basically published the book and translated it from the Romanian text. I get updates, you know, from him, Don, and the story just is so incredibly wonderful to me. I mean, it gives you hope. See, the Buchechi Mountains, the site there is an underground passageway into different areas of the world, including there's a center of information under the Sphinx in Egypt. There's a hall of records in the Himalayan foothills that are guarded by the Tibetan monks. All of this culminates with an inner earth civilization. The central character of the story, because of his DNA and his special circumstances, was appointed emissary from the earth into the inner earth societies, and he's been you know, fully in communication with them. Many of our UFOs, ladies and gentlemen, according to this text, originate from inner earth, not from outer space. This advanced civilization inside the earth has had interstellar, intergalactic travel capabilities for eons of time.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you don't know about it, just because you haven't seen it, doesn't mean it's not so, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, if you spend a couple of days on Google Earth, you'll come up with some pretty phenomenal things.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes.
I found some things in Indonesia. You know, taking a snapshot of the of the photo, including the blackened out caverns, and when you capture that as a JPEG or GIF file or, you know, whatever kind of graphic file you want to use, you can brighten the darkened areas, which are intentionally obscured to prevent you from seeing what's inside. And I just brighten the exposure level of the photo, and you can see that it's a deep cavern, several hundred feet deep, and you can see carvings on the walls, monsters carved there, I guess to ward off evil spirits or people that might be a bit nosy and want to look in. And there's an hexagonal landing pad with a conical craft sitting on it, the bottom of this canyon. And really, once you identify that, you see many more scattered out in the open. You just have to look.
Well, there was in Arizona, Don, this has been quite a few years ago, in the early 90s, I had met some people down. There's an Indian tribe down at the base of the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a special cave down at the bottom of the Grand Canyon that is now, I understand, been sealed off. But at one time, they were allowing government officials to go in there and analyze it. This cavern system went basically on for thousands of miles with some very strange things going on there. And so, you know, who's to say? There's all of these subterranean caves that are under, off the coast of Florida, or I'm sorry, of California. There's even been reports. I've talked to some of the parents of servicemen, Navy personnel, that reported their sons and servicemen going in, nuclear submarines exploring these huge caves.
Hmm.
You know, it goes down. This is above top secret stuff. You know, they don't want people to know this and that. There was one instance where one of our subs got in trouble in one of these caves, had a problem, and had to be rescued, basically. But it's true. I mean, it's these things have been going on, and here we have the grand entrance to all this there in Romania, and this Hall of Records for 50,000 years. The people that built this holographic hall were very tall. They're very, basically giants. They were, I think, the biblical Goliath was a descendant of these people. Don, the table dimensions that were there, the chairs, the seating arrangements were easily for people 17 to 20 feet tall.
Yeah, that's tall. I think, wasn't it in Greece just a few months ago, they found a 35 to 40 foot skeleton?
Well, I wasn't sure if it was that tall, but it was well over 17 feet. The thigh bone was over, 8 foot tall, just a thigh bone, the femur. So, yeah, pretty amazing.
Well, they want us to keep our focus on the football fields and the grocery stores,
and away from the reptilian control of the world bankers. I mean, again, that's one of the things that it's in that Hall of Records is the serpent race, and the. You know, it's just like a gigantic gear of the universe that's turning continuously, and these provocateurs just are like want to throw monkey wrenches in the whole thing.
Yeah, you know the movie Star Wars. You know, I've seen bits and pieces of those movies. I haven't really watched them, but from what I've seen, it seems that they're basically showing a reptilian race. I mean, you've got this. What was the character's name? Jabba, I think. He was like an overstuffed bullfrog.
Yep. Jabba Hutt. Jabba. Now you gotta watch the whole five series. You gotta sit down and just watch it, because George Lucas was, you know, it is a very, very high Ashkenazi Mason, and he's basically telling the truth. Mm-hmm. That movie is not so much out there, ladies and gentlemen. It's basically the truth of the situation. You know, that sounds crazy, I know. But see, that's how they do it. They put the truth right there in your face and make it seem like fiction.
Yeah, the little snippets that I've seen caught me in that regard, looking at it as, oh, they're showing us this and they're showing us that. I really didn't pay attention to the story. I was watching for all the signs and the symbols you know, their rituals.
Yeah, right. and yeah, look who I don't want to say it, but you've got the evil commander is above Darth Vader. Doesn't he look a whole lot like Joe Lieberman?
Oh, you know who else he looks like? He looks like that drawing of Pindar.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He looks very much like Pindar, only he didn't have all the symbols on his garb. But he's wearing that hooded robe, and it's kind of like that. They don't really develop the characters that you understand what their background is. They're just you're to accept them as evil. Of course, depending on what side you're on when you're not at the movies. I'm sure there were as many people rooting for Darth Vader and his minions as there were, you know, for the other side.
Well, he was just Luke Skywalker's daddy. I mean, he just happened to have a bad set of circumstances and messed his mind up. I mean, he's really not a bad guy. He's just really, really not. But see, that's, again, the subtle lies that are told. Nobody makes a concerted effort, you know, to be terribly evil, Don. It's a series of small things. You know, you wake up one day and you realize, oh my goodness. You know, if you again, this book by David Irving that I have right here on my desk, Hitler's War, beautiful, heavy, hardbound book that got David Irving in prison. Hitler's War. It shows that all of these, you know, these men, so-called, were, you know, they're just one thing after another, step by step by step, and they made into a horrendous evil. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just opening the book up. Here's a whole diagram of Hitler's Führer's bunker, and all of the escape routes going out to the German U-boat bases. You know, there's pictures here done in this book about Rommel is ordered by Hitler to swallow poison because all of his disasters, his losses. And there's a picture here of Rommel in his casket after taking the poison. You see all of these others, henchmen, the generals that have committed suicide. But you know what's really missing in all this book? There's no picture of Hitler's body. Imagine that.
Yeah. That's, well, no surprise. We've learned where he went, and there are many, many accounts of that. I mean, there's enough stuff to make up. people don't have to make up those kinds of stories. There are many, many people in the MK Ultra mind control program that came into contact with them at some point or another. Joseph Mengele, the same. These guys, just because they were out of circulation for a while, didn't mean they stopped doing their evil deeds. And they were in good company, too, especially when they came to the United States.
Yep. This whole book, all the pictures, all of this, the way they had it structured, there's so much evidence that Hitler did not die there. All the whole evidence that was prepared on the world stage, the Russians came forward. Again, who are the Russians that are controlled by the same Ashkenazi group? The Russians declared to the Brits and the American allies that they have Hitler's body, and they cremated it. But before they did it, they have an X-ray photograph of Hitler's lower jaw. Come on. That's all the evidence that they have, that they found his body and then cremated it.
Yeah. Well, they did that with many of the Nuremberg criminals that were allegedly hanged as well. And that plays a major role into what's going on today. You reminded me when you mentioned Transylvania Sunrise. When I embarked upon the Eisenhower research, I didn't know up front where I was going to end up, but I began seeing it early on, and still, despite what I was seeing, I trusted that if I just follow an integral path of research, that I will eventually end up in Austria, or some aspect of Austria. It was Austria-Hungary, and Solka Bukovina puts us right there in the midst of the setting that Peter Moon wrote about. We also had cloning being looked at, we'll say, way back in the 1920s, 1926, in Austria. And this was funded by the Rockefellers. So you had that research going on, and you know, the cover story is, oh, it was forgotten about until after the war, and it was picked up again in 1951. By 1952, they had successfully cloned frogs. I don't buy that. That's not exactly the timeline. They wouldn't brag about the amount of research they had done in the 20s. I think it was a matter of perfecting something, or, you know, creating a designer being like the one we have now in the White House. Can't really think for itself, but can read a teleprompter. And not even all that well. but the synchronicity of that same place again, it tells you something at another scale. See, we tend to think in political terms, or we think in terms of nationalities, but you got to think outside the box and say, you know, who are these people that who was Franz Joseph the First that he could be the ruler, the emperor of Austria-Hungary for 68 years. Even Alexander the Great, who had a much larger empire under his control militarily, didn't rule all that long. And to have this succession of people come out of there, all the blame is put on Germany, all the blame is put on Russia, but Austria and Hungary and those satellite countries that were absorbed into that autocratic society played a major role, much like Switzerland does today. You know, Switzerland, because they're holding everybody's money, so the story goes, they're not bombed, they're not dragged into the war. Everybody else is. And Austria did have the war, World War One, I think more so than World War Two, actually. There was a certain dispensation, but then again, when you're sending minions all over the world to take over countries, very methodically, you know, we were set up. That's why Eisenhower was sent here. And this has not stopped. It's been going on ever since. That's not the first time the country had been infiltrated either. So, again, it's the bankers. But, you know, bankers, we know they're corrupt. Are they that smart or are they just devious? You know, are they shrewd in a negative sense? You know, are they bent on destroying all of humanity just to have all the money? They can print all of their illusory money they want. There's something else behind all this, pulling the strings. That's the point I'm trying to make here.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And, well, you just got to look outside the box, I guess, Don, and try and figure it out. But like I said, if you, I would just love to have a day to go to the Bocchetti Mountains and that holographic Hall of Records and just spend the full 24 hours learning and seeing and knowing. And why, you know, with our capabilities as far as telecommunications, satellite, internet hookups, there's no reason why they couldn't have it available to everybody in the world with an internet connection to learn all of the truths there. But see, it would just shatter all of religions of the earth, which are based on, so much of them are based on lies and fraud and money making. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll just blow them out of the water, and people will start to truly be empowered. And you can't have that, can you? You see, it's not, you know, it's okay to have faith, ladies and gentlemen. Faith in a divine being, Jesus Christ, is wonderful because it's true. But there's so much more to that story. There is so much of a bigger universe of truth that you just gotta grasp.
Well, there's a pattern here. You know, you look at all the countries that have been infiltrated by this group that you've already described, and they'll change their name or they'll make a claim that they're of another religion, but do they fight for that religion? You know, I recall hearing the long-legged or the short-legged Mac Daddy declare that he was a Christian. You remember that? Do you see any sign of that?
Oh, I just laugh at the, you know, watched the TV last night, and as I came in late, and they had the first family vacationing there in Florida. Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? What a propaganda spot. I mean, playing the loving father and playing miniature golf with his kiddies, and oh, come on. You know, the man is such a fraud.
And with all the problems in the world, he can just take nonstop flights around the world and come back. Oh, I've got to have a vacation now. I'm just working too hard.
Yeah. So I'm going to go to Florida, and we're going to show you that it's okay and safe to go on the beaches. And fine, yeah.
Being a puppet is hard work, isn't it?
Yep, it's stringy.
Well, you had mentioned to me something earlier regarding some new photos that have surfaced. Would you share that with our listening audience? I'm talking about the Hawaii photos.
Yeah, I just got this email out, and I'm trying to get. I haven't even seen them yet, but there was evidently a family friend of the Dunhams, Stanley and Dunham, who has an old photo history gallery of that she was invited to come and visit with the Dunhams. She was their family friend in Washington when they lived there, And so they went, and this was the summer, she says, the summer of 1961. They went, they conquered, they, you know, were queens of the beach, and she has the photographs with the captions on the back, Waikiki Beach, Honolulu, July 1961.
Well, yeah. Now, the alleged birth date is the 4th of October that same year.
So yeah, she would
you would see a nine-month-old pregnant girl, right?
Well, eight months. Yeah, she would be very, very – there's no way this girl in the – this Stanley Ann Dunham was – she had a bikini on, and that's saying quite a bit, knowing the other pictures we have of her, you know, and that's that same – that same age, you know. She's no, there's no doubt about it, Don and ladies and gentlemen. This is a CIA family. Stanley Ann Dunham, SAD, codenamed SADY438, is a CIA asset, presidential model. She was 19 years old, July 21st of 1961, those pictures on the beach, she was, well, there's a possibility that this friend was mistaken on the dates, but not, no, it wasn't. The family didn't even go to Hawaii until 1960, and it would take them 7-8 months to get established, to even have a friend come and visit with them. So it would be the 1961 would be the earliest they could get together after being separated. Why would you want to go to meet with your friend in Hawaii just weeks after they first got there? Doesn't make sense in the timeline. And so the pictures definitely, you know, of the friend and the associates they have there on the beach definitely makes sense. So, you know, how does she get, how does she have this Barack Hussein Obama in the same year later on? And, you know, actually in August is when some accounts are.
Yeah, the next month.
Yeah, August.
Well, so, that's what they're saying, but go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, yeah, this is a huge, huge part of the puzzle. Then, of course, we see that the baby's born at the latter part of August, supposedly, the official campaign story. And then we see just literally days after his birth, we see supposedly Stanley Ann Dunham abandoning her newborn baby and is enrolled. This is officially on record. She goes back to the University of Washington and enrolls there. She's in fall classes at the end of August. She's in classrooms in Washington, University of Washington, at the end of August. How does this happen?
Well, and the story is that she, all this transpired while she was at the University of Hawaii, Manoa, which yeah. I say did not occur. And I also say that Barack Hussein Obama Sr., that's a ruse as well. Here you have somebody who's alleged to have flown in the what was called the Kennedy Airlift from Kenya. Actually, he didn't enroll in the school till 1958, they say. His relatives in Kenya say that the office where he worked, the government office he was working for, as a bachelor candidate in economics, he gets this altruistic scholarship from the workers. Now, we have two stories. You have the Kennedy Foundation in 57, and you have the Kenyan workers in 58. Neither story is true. Neither one is true. And how often does a college freshman sit in classes with a grad student? Just doesn't happen, especially back in those days. It didn't happen. It's just a ruse, as well as Harvard. That's a ruse as well.
Well, and then, of course, going to that so-called Hawaiian birth certificate, You know what's amazing, Don, is there's a fellow that wrote a piece on debunking that, where it said race of the father, you know, father's race. It said African on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in 1961, in every other record, both in Hawaii and on the mainland as well, the standard terminology was not African.
It was Negro.
It was Negro or colored.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Africa is not an ethnicity or a race.
No, it's a place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you look at all the 1959 to 1963, before the civil rights legislations and all things were passed and the terminology changed, 90% of all the birth certificates of a Negro family, they weren't Negro, they were colored. Colored words was on the birth certificates. So suddenly here we have a politically correct birth certificate. Nobody put that African in that day and time. It just wasn't thought of. There was no political correctness back then. It was colored as the race.
Well, the sample that was published was fraught with fraud and misrepresentation of fact, including the paper stock itself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know,
It was a more recent stock from this century that was used. And there's a notice at the bottom that if the document is tampered with in any way, it becomes void. And the serial number was blacked out. It was totally redacted completely. So that was the first mistake. But there were many. Many, many mistakes there. And it's not a certificate of live birth either.
Nope. That's a short form.
Yes, that's the criteria. Then we had a story that came out several months ago. A Kentucky college professor now was working there in Hawaii at the elections board and said there was no record. Now, that flies in the face of what the official pronouncements have been. And he said he had access to all records of voters and candidates. So,
I think obviously Obama, with his little baby, was an immaculate birth. I mean, there was nothing in her womb on that beach. I mean, she was amazingly flat-chested for a bikini to be, you know, 8.5 months pregnant, and golly, you know, maybe it's true. Maybe he is the Messiah. Maybe he just came out of, you know, out of the womb all perfectly formed.
Yeah, I guess you that immaculate deception.
You know, it's just how much more do we have to take with this? You know, I mean, it just, the pieces keep falling into place, and yet the powers that be just, you know, keep it going.
Well, he's in office, and, he declared himself a citizen officially, I heard.
Oh, really?
I heard him today, yes. He was talking about the right to build a mosque at Ground Zero or in the vicinity of Ground Zero, and that those people, as a citizen and as the president of the United States, he sees, well, there's the first lie is as a citizen. He's not a citizen. He's not a citizen, and he doesn't belong. He's not naturally born here or in any circumstances that could be converted to be qualified to run for the presidency. They know that. And he made that that statement in regard to the mosque.
I just say there shouldn't be a mosque. You know, why not a mosque? it wasn't the Islam that brought that down anyway. It was Israelis.
Well, I know. See, the argument they're allowing the people to make is that, well, you know, you told us that we were attacked by Arabs. Well, some of us have been saying, no, that's not true. We know the involvement of Israel, for example, in that event. You know, did they arrest any Arabs that day? I don't think so. But they arrested some Israelis.
The five dancing Israelis.
Yeah. The ones that were working at Urban Movers in New Jersey were arrested by the FBI, and then they were ordered released and returned back to Israel.
This is what I discussed on my timeline on my show tonight, Don. Few minutes we have left.
Sure.
Is the ongoing investigation. You can piece this together in news reports in the end of 2000, and the investigation stretched into 2001. Here, the Drug Enforcement Agency, they found so much of their busts and their infiltration. They had agents being shot because they somehow these drug lords had gotten. You know, they knew their whole system. There was whole kinds of leaks on it, and so they did a sting and found out. Guess what? There were two companies that had were basically selling the intelligence. Two companies, Amdocs, American Docs, AMDOCS, and Converse Infosys. Now, the Converse Infosystems, ladies and gentlemen, builds the phone tapping equipment that's used by all law enforcement to eavesdrop on American telephone calls under judges, you know, warrants. Don, if you're a police officer, a detective, and you need to wiretap a phone call, if you have strong evidence, and the judge gives you the okay to do it, the machinery used to wiretap is made by Converse Infosys. Well, guess who owns Converse Infosys and where the technology is produced? Tel Aviv, Israel. Okay, so Amdocs and Converse Infosys, both owned by Israelis. The central computer bank is in Tel Aviv, Israel, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I asked the question on my show. I'm asking it again on yours tonight. Who polices Converse Infosys? If they have this technology that the law enforcement, they supply to law enforcement, who's overseeing them? And what was found, see, there was they had built a backdoor into their systems that the Mossad at any time could sell a communication line of equipment to drug lords. So they would just tap into the phone communications of the DEA, and they knew what was going on. And that's why they were able to compromise the drug informers and the whole system. Now, it was even deeper than that, according to my source here. The FBI was investigating this in a huge way. They had, on September 5th, they had arrested 180 Israeli counter-espionage agents, and they were just the tip of the iceberg. There was at least three times that more they were issuing warrants for their arrest on. Guess where the investigation centered? The investigation headquarters busting the spy ring was the FBI offices in Building 7 of the World Trade Center.
I was going to say New York anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the CIA was running their operation out of Building 7 too, were they not?
They were. So it's all right in that heart center. The five Israelis that were dancing and overjoyed were because they knew their friends and their the whole spy ring, the Mossad, would be the secret to be kept. That's why they were so happy.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable story behind the story.
Yeah, they're with cameras, too, dancing and taking pictures, dancing on the top of a van.
Yeah. Fox News' Carl Cameron there in California did a started a four-part story series on all of this and showing how all this was, these five Israelis were tied to AIPAC, American Israeli Political Action Committee. And the ADL and the B'nai B'rith forced Fox News to take the story off their website. You know, it's just on and on.
Yeah, well, someday the truth will have to be reconciled. You know, there's gonna have to be a time where these, what do you call them?
Well, if Clayton Douglas, if Lenny Horowitz was ticked off enough to Clayton Douglas for running a story like he ran about the bankers and the Ashkenazi bloodlines, well, think of the F bombs he's dropping on our revelations.
Mm-hmm.
And see who makes Lenny Horowitz the gatekeeper for all this. See, if he's not a Knight of Malta, Don, you know, then why is he so upset about all of this, about the Clayton Douglas's newspaper? And why, after the blow-up by Clayton Douglas's own story, his whole life is turned upside down. He has an assassination attempt by an accidental, hit on his motorcycle. On and on, the concerted effort to close down his publications, colleagues getting shot and killed. You know, Don, I think we talked about this. I first said I don't believe that this list put out by Fulford was accurate, because who this little squeaky little wheel, Len Horowitz, is listed in the same league as Henry Kissinger. You know, is that possible? Well, according to Clayton Douglas's testimony, maybe it's true that by way of deception, they wage war. They don't want the people to believe that some of these big wigs could really be that insignificant in their cover stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just questioning. I'm speculating out here. I'm not libeling. I'm not slandering. I'm just saying, hey, when there's smoke, there's probably pretty much a pretty good guess there's some fire burning somewhere.
Yeah, well, when you're over the target, as our friend Drew says, you're going to catch flack. So if you're catching flack, consider yourself over the target.
Well, you know, he has a picture of himself in a tuxedo posing with a grained horned owl. What is that all about? You know, all this Len 15 is his website or his email address in big letters. Count them up. L-E-N, Len, three letters, 15 equals 6. You know, doggone it, it's the 528 hertz frequency all add up to numerically speaking to the number 6, Don. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on there that we can just don't need to, you know, follow the clues too far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's I still fail to connect his anyone's name on a list of Knights of Malta, connecting it to certain death of one person who's a friend of both of ours and another person who was an acquaintance of mine. Of course, you're the one now being blamed for his passing, and I state that I think he's alive. I said it right in the beginning.
Well, it could be. I don't know the man. I follow just with a little bit of raised eyebrows this whole Leo Wanta thing, because it didn't make sense logically to me, Don. This huge Wanta trust accumulating all of this is during the Reagan eras, and he has all of this hidden out in different bank accounts. Oh, come on. It's all just debt money anyway, all skimmed off the top of drug deals. Who gives a rip? Okay?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's more behind that. We'll have to save that for another show. there's more. Much more than meets the eye.
I want the more. I want the more. I want it all. No, I this whole thing is just so ludicrous, Don. The ongoing, stories, Fulford, this and that, the interview with David Rockefeller. Well, so what? Again, it's all, to me, it's smokescreen, because we're talking $2.3 trillion absconded with under Dov Zakheim's watch at the Pentagon. Let's talk about Zakheim. Let's not talk about Leo Wanta, Brother Fulford, Brother Story, Brother Horowitz. Why are you not talking about Dov Zakheim? Let's see you do a piece on that one. They won't touch it because, again, the Knights stay together. I get it. They're saying all of this misdirection. Oh, Lenny's not a Knights of Malta. Please. The Knights Hospitaller is a division of the Knights of Malta. It's like saying, oh, I'm not a Freemason because I do the York Rite, not the Scottish Rite. Please.
Yeah. Well, true, we're out of time. We touched on a lot of subjects tonight, but these can certainly be discussed in depth on an upcoming show. So,
okay, yeah, it's probably this late, isn't it? Oh, my goodness.
It is. The time flies. But it was interesting, and I look forward to your next visit next week. And for those out there, by the way, I failed to mention the name of Dr. Rott's show on themicroeffect.com, Monday through Friday. It's called The Story Behind the Story. And if you would, please give out your website, any information you want to give out to people.
Yeah, my personal blog is www.atrueott.com, TRUEOTT.com. And, if you want to listen in, my show's from 7 to 9 Pacific Coast time, Monday through Friday, 10 to midnight on the East Coast.
Okay. Well, thank you. So. Thank you for stopping in to visit with us tonight so late, and look forward to your next visit. In the meantime, be safe and watch out for those reptiles.
Yeah, I don't like those snakes. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Good night, Don. Thank you.
All right, good night. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And tonight's special guest, Dr. A. Truott. He'll be with us next Monday, so be sure to tune in. In the meantime, I'd like to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting the show. Seth Hendrick on the sound. Don and Doug Newsom at bbsradio.com for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Mr. Charles Giuliani. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.